you out there in Radio Land. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. For our virtual listeners, we hope your device is locked onto our website at kptz.org. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. The show highlights some of the diverse personalities that make Jefferson County, Washington so very special. We're back to recording in our studio inside KPTZ's world headquarters in the sweet little trailer in the parking lot of Mountain View School. It's great to see people in person again. Our Town is not gotcha journalism. It's about the guests. We recount some of the stories of the amazing people who make up our community. Over time, we talk with firefighters, foodies, bus drivers, and baristas, the lawyers, and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. Open your eyes. Who do you see around you every day? Shoppers and diners are back, it seems like, in full force. The only difference is that almost every establishment now has a sign on the door restricting entry to those who can show proof of vaccination. And, of course, masks are everywhere. I don't know about you, but occasionally I forget to slap one on when I exit my car, despite having more than a few masks inside the car. People are incredibly gracious and generous when you forget one. I was picking up some sharpened knives at Uptown Cutlery the other day. It's located upstairs at Aldrich's. When I realized I managed to ride the elevator upstairs, maskless, I mumbled that I'd go back to the car. But Sam, the owner, insisted he give me a free mask. That's the sort of community spirit that helps make Port Townsend the strong, resilient place that it is. Our Town is a celebration of the many fascinating people who make up the complex fabric of this community. Listening to Our Town will help you to get to know some of them. My guest today, Rocky Friedman, the owner of the Rose Theater in downtown Port Townsend. Rocky and the Rose play a pivotal role in the cultural life of Jefferson County. I bet you've heard of him, or perhaps you've even met him. But don't you wonder about his backstory? So, Rocky, let's start with that. Are you a local boy, born and bred on the Olympic Peninsula?
No, that specific, no. Local as in Northwest, yes. I was born in Portland. My family moved to Seattle when I was 4 years old, so I've spent most of my life in the Northwest. And I've been in Port Townsend now for 39 years.
That counts as somewhat local, although some of the purists would argue yeah. that that's not enough. No. Did you grow up in a household where it was expected for you to go on to college?
Yes, very much so. Both my older sisters were expected. It wasn't overt. It was subtle. It was just what you did then. You graduated high school and you went off to college. You didn't necessarily, there weren't as many people who took a gap year and went to Europe or traveled the U.S. So, it was, and as the only son, yes, it was expected of me as well.
You ended up in a very creative field. Do you have that gene running through you, your parents or other relatives?
Yeah, to answer your question, yes. My father was headed to Syracuse University to study drama and television, and he ended up having to make a very difficult decision and gave up his dreams. My great uncle was a very well-known songwriter during the period in what was referred to as Tin Pan Alley in New York. Wrote a lot of tunes. My great uncle Al Hoffman wrote the tune Mersey Dotes and Dozy Dotes. If I'd known you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. He wrote songs for Disney's Cinderella. If you check ASCAP online, he wrote numerous songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then my daughter, of course, is an actress in New York.
Just before we go on to your illustrious career, just give me a moment to look at Rocky in high school. What do you think your peers thought of you?
My first answer would be who? They might not remember me. I was not a standout in any sense. But I think most people would say he was quiet and he had a camera in front of his face all the time.
Where'd the camera come from?
The camera was a gift to me from my grandfather. When I was in the ninth grade, my grandfather had a pawn shop in Portland, Oregon, and he gifted that to me. And that act on his part, that gift, is the direct link to what I'm doing today, the Rose Theater. That I fell in love with photography. It became my passion, and it made all the difference in my life from then on. I had a direction. I found something I was interested in.
So did you study photography in school?
I practice it. I wouldn't say I necessarily studied it. I was the photo editor for my high school yearbook, photos for the school newspaper. I was a photo editor at our local newspaper in Bellevue, Washington, where I spent my wonder years. I still didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with photography. So out of high school, I went to a community college for 2 years and started taking film classes. And that's what led to my decision to study filmmaking. And after community college, I transferred to University of Southern California in Los Angeles.
Good
and
school,
studied
very,
filmmaking
yeah.
there. Yeah, it's the oldest school in the country for film that has a filmmaking department.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Huh. And so you graduated from USC?
I did, with a BA in film production, and then got a job immediately working for a very well-known producer who at the time was in production on what turned out to be John Wayne's last movie called
wow.
The Shootist, and worked for him for about a year and a half, went to work for another producer for a short period of time after that.
And then what?
Well, part of my duties working for these producers was reading scripts, and I came down with a very well-known illness in which you think you can write better than all the junk that you're asked to read.
Uh-huh.
So I decided I really, really wanted to write, and I didn't love Los Angeles. I loved what I was doing, and I knew I didn't have to take – I knew I didn't have to remain there, and I missed the Northwest very much. So I ended up coming back to Northwest and started writing, got a job I very much wanted, which was in a bookstore. I just wanted to be surrounded by books and literature, and met my future wife, and
Well, so when you talk about writing, you're not talking about a novel.
No, screenplay.
Screenplay. That was your focus, right?
That
away.
Was my focus.
Okay. All right, and so you were doing that. Did you stay in Seattle?
Stayed for a while. The woman I ended up marrying was from Montana, and she very much wanted to live there again. She was living in Seattle at the time. So we moved to Helena, Montana for 2 years. I worked at the Lewis and Clark Library. I worked in a health food store. We came back to the Northwest after 2 years. We missed family. We missed being around. We missed the access to a larger city. And her parents had moved from Montana to Port Townsend many years prior. And I liked them very much, wanted our daughter to grow up knowing them in a way I didn't know my grandparents, only because they lived at a distance. And so Port Townsend was the ideal place for us. We liked living in a small town. Helena was small, and it was close enough to Seattle, yet far enough away, so it was the logical stop for us.
So did you have a job when you first got here?
My first job was at a restaurant, which no longer exists, a wonderful Mexican restaurant called La Fonda. Worked there for about 4 years. And it was while I was there that I decided there was room in this town for a second theater as I envisioned it. So after La Fonda, I worked for 4 years at Aldrich's, and I was actively involved by that point in helping to restore the Rose. So it was the restaurant to Aldrich's to the Rose Theater.
So starting the Rose was your dream?
Opening a movie theater was my dream in this town. I spent 7.5 years trying to open a theater and literally had blueprints drawn for 4 other locations, I recall, prior to even learning that there was an old Rose Theater in town.
Well, yes, we're going to get right there in a second, but when we were talking the other day, you said something that stuck with me. You said your goal was to create a job that I could both enjoy and make a living.
Correct. That was why I wanted to do it, because I found that the older I was getting, the harder it was to work at jobs which simply meant paying the bills. I needed something that satisfied my heart and my soul, and to use and to use what I had gone to college to study and what I loved and was passionate about, which was movies.
Okay, well, you know, as a customer, the Rose looks like it's been forever. Was it there already? What's the story?
The Rose Theater was built in 1907, originally as a vaudeville house, which meant they were traveling entertainment acts, which traveled around the country and stopped town to town. It soon started showing movies before 1910 and became what was known at the time as a Nickelodeon, which means admission was 5 cents. And movies at that time were generally about 20 minutes in length, and they played all day. The working class could come see movies after work. And the Rose at that time, I think I recall reading that there were 5 to 7 movie theaters in Port Townsend at one time, and the Rose was one of the last ones. There was a Townsend Theater, and of course the Uptown Theater, which had been around, I think, since around 1946.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Now, getting the Rose open wasn't necessarily simple, and I believe you're not a trust fund baby, so you probably didn't have all the cash. So how did you get the money to do it?
No, it was an expensive small business to open, so I didn't have any of it, and so I hauled myself to an attorney who said, Do you have family money? No. Do you have access to any money, significant money? No. He said, well, I suggest that you form a corporation and sell shares of stock, which is what I did. So I literally went from living room in this town with my business plan, pictures of the chairs I wanted, carpet samples, blueprints, and I could talk for an hour and a half. And for all the time it took me to open a theater in this town, it turned out that raising the money was the easiest part, which I hadn't anticipated, but people saw that I was passionate about it, and the business plan that I had written demonstrated what I thought convincingly was a viable business opportunity.
Okay.
So people, initially there were 25 shareholders, and then 3 years later when we built the Rosebud, it became 35 shareholders altogether.
Okay, and how much did those initial shareholders pay to be part of it?
Well, most people came in at the minimum participation level, which was $2,450.
Okay, and you got some side benefits too.
Personally? Well, or them.
Them.
Yes. They got admission to the theater. They got probably the biggest payoff to them was a sense of being part of this project. That's what they told me. Many of them told me was the reason for participating. They liked being owners of it. They knew they would bring family and friends who came to town to the theater. It, you know, at that time, new construction was very much a hot topic in Port Townsend, and this was restoring an old theater. So it was like, it turned out to be an easy sell.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So this would have been in roughly, you opened in 92, so a year or two before was when you were
Correct.
Gathering the cash.
Yeah.
And were there any hiccups or any, you know, golden angels who came to help out?
The only real hiccup turned out to be initially there was a friend of mine, an attorney here in town, called my attention to an article on the back page of the Leader one day, which said that the State Office of Archaeology and Historic Preservation wanted to give away $500,000 to theaters within the state for the restoration of community theaters.
Nice.
So I called the Office of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, and I said, what's your definition of community theaters? And the answer was, a theater located within a community.
So okay.
Anyway, it turned out to be, there were a lot of strings attached to it, and the city itself had to hold title to the building, and my wonderful landlords-to-be from Port Townsend, Phil and Sandy Johnson, ended up walking away from the grant because there were just too many strings attached to it, and they did it themselves. They did get a smaller state grant a couple years later because this possibility of this grant took so much time that the grant money sort of ran out, and everybody, all theaters, had to reapply. Anyway, It was, there, as I said, there were a lot of strings attached to it.
But you had a decorating angel help, too.
I had a decorating angel. We had a decorating angel. There was a couple here in town, Barbara and Don Marseille. Barbara has since passed away. Don lives here with his wife. Barbara introduced herself to me as a semi-retired interior designer from Chicago. But this woman, who was probably at the time in her late 70s, maybe early 80s, I'm not sure, had more energy than all of us working on this project combined. And she donated 2 years of her time to restoring the rose. You walk into the rose in every color, every fabric, every thing that you see that you take in visually, so much of it is Barbara Marseille. Her imprint is all over this town in public buildings and private homes.
You know, it's my understanding that those murals and, in fact, the ceiling were actually there, but they were covered up.
Right. The very first time that Phil and I and someone else went through the building, it was a shuttered secondhand store. We were walking on a false ceiling, which was a rather foolish thing to be doing. And we saw the tin ceiling, and it was only after demolition that we discovered the murals on the wall. They were behind some ugly pink wallpaper and paint. So we also found a couple other wonderful finds. We found between 200 and 300 glass lantern slides. These are 3x5 glass slides sandwiched together, color. These were the equivalent of coming attractions at the time, which in the 20s. And I also found some black and white film that had Ingrid Bergman on it. It was a war bond effort, and I ended up donating that film to the George Eastman House in Rochester, New York, for their collection.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And tell me about opening day. What happened then?
Opening day was wonderful. We showed the Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, Marilyn Monroe, Misfits. No, Misfits was...
Bust Up.
Oh, my God, I'm forgetting the name of it. No, Misfits was with Clark Gable and also Marilyn Monroe. Anyway, it was wonderful. A lot of flowers were given. I called Barbara and Phil and Sandy up to the stage, and wonderful architect Chris Carson and Rick Heiner. My family was there. My father, unfortunately, had passed away before the opening, which was very unfortunate because initially he doubted my intent in opening a theater. He thought it was a pipe dream. Once he saw how serious I was about it and the work I was doing, he did 180 degrees. So it was a day of mixed feelings for the family, but it was great. And everybody dressed up to the nines. I rented a tuxedo, the only time I've ever worn a tuxedo in my life.
Nice.
Had to return it the next day to Silverdale.
That's sorry, okay. Go. Well, you've got pictures, I'm sure.
Yes.
That would be fun. Your mother has come down to the theater, and she's still around, right?
My mother, very much so. My mother is 101, a remarkable 101. She's really pretty much all there. And she's actually been living with me for the past 4 months. I have one more week with her, and then she's on an offspring rotation. She spends 4 months with each of her children, and I'm summer.
Nice time to have.
I wanted her here in Port Townsend during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been great.
Time. So what is your vision for the rose from the beginning? What was your vision?
Well, I spent a year researching. My heart belongs to... I have equal space in my heart for independent films and documentaries and foreign films as I do for Hollywood Fair. And I saw that people in Port Townsend were mostly being exposed to Hollywood Fair. And the first thing I did on this project was spend a year researching and writing a business plan. I went to the county office and I looked at the demographics. What's the general age of people here? What's the education level? What's the income level? How many people have moved here from other larger urban areas? And I just sensed that there was room in this town for a theater that showed a wide variety of movies. And one of the statistics I came across, which always stayed with me, was that the American Booksellers Association at the time had recommended a population of 20,000 to support one bookstore. And Port Townsend, at the time I was doing my research, had 5 bookstores. So I thought that was a very good indicator. Port Townsend is a very educated community.
True.
And I thought this is a potential audience that would be open to other films.
So do you personally pick all the movies?
I do. Yes, I'm the guilty. I'm the responsible. I'm the guilty one in that regard, yes.
Do you have a rotation in your mind, like one Hollywood, one documentary, one...
I try and... Well, before the Starlight Room opened in 2013, I always tried... I never wanted to open an art house, strictly an art house. I thought that was going to be a poor business decision, and there would not be enough art house films to consistently show that kind of movie. So I always, from the very beginning, wanted to mix it up, both art house and Hollywood fare. So that's always been my intent. But you're at the mercy of what's out there. You know, I like to describe it this way. On both sides of the Rose Theater, I've got restaurants. And they can turn out the same great food, meal to meal, day after day. They have the ability to be that consistent, unless for some reason certain ingredients aren't available,
right,
which they aren't during the time, certain times of year. But a theater doesn't have that luxury at all. Nothing like it. We're just entirely dependent on what's being made, what's out there, and hoping that it's going to be something that we want to play. So... for most of the life of the Rose Theater, I would travel to Seattle almost every week to preview movies because there was by law, distributors of films had to make their movies available for theater owners to see. So there was a designated theater, and I would go there, and I considered it the most important part of my job, and I loved it because I was getting to see movies before reviews were ever written. So I would come to it completely fresh and get to form my own opinion about it.
Okay. We probably should, because of time considerations, get to the point of the era of COVID.
Yes.
You, like everyone else, were closed. When did you have to shut down?
We were closed for 499 days, which began on March 15th of last year, 2020. Yeah.
That's a long time.
It was very long.
Now, one thing you did was introduce streaming.
Yes. Well, that was something that small distributors started making available to theaters. Small distributors are very, very much dependent on theaters like the Rose for their lifeblood. It's very much a symbiotic relationship, and so they made them available. And I jumped on that very quickly. And just as quickly, I decided that I wanted to make streaming a permanent feature of the Rose, even after we reopened. So it meant a redesign of our website. It meant signing on with a new ticketing agency and a lot of changes. So since April of 2020 through now, we have created a library of just over 100 films, and I just want to keep adding and adding to it.
Okay, so streaming will continue.
Yes.
Now, you're back open in 2 of your 3 venues.
Correct.
And how's it been going?
It's been going well. It's quite slow, to be perfectly honest. It's very, very slow. And I think people are just being very cautious given the demographic here and the high vaccination rate in our county. People are being careful, and business will turn around, but honestly, I don't expect a significant turnaround until next year.
When people come to the theater, are they expected to show vaccination?
It's great. You know, we started that when we opened. We were not requiring masks. We were recommending it. And then very quickly, I mean, within the first week, we switched to masks requiring. And then after a lot of discussion with my staff, and some customers, we decided to go to vaccinated only. And everyone has been wonderful about it. They come in the door with their vaccination card and their photo ID, and yeah, good. That's where we are.
Good. Now, one thing that you did previously, which was to a core of people, a wonderful addition in this town, that was doing the ballets and the operas and the National Theatre of London. Is that going to come back?
Yes. The Metropolitan Opera and the Bolshoi Ballet both resume next month, October. And there's been no offering from the company that handles National Theatre of London, but I expect that's going to happen relatively soon.
Yeah, well, that'll be great. Yeah. And the Starlight Room isn't quite open yet.
No, we're working on that. There's some big changes up there, and we hope to be open before the end of October.
Good. Well, we're coming in on the end of our time here. It always goes so fast, but I just want to make an observation. I mean, I was thinking about it after we talked the other day, and you're really a very lucky man because you got to follow your dream and create it. It's probably been hard slog at times. You're glossing over some of it, I'm sure.
Marianne, I feel extremely fortunate to have realized my dream of creating a job for myself that I still enjoy and am passionate about all these years, and to do that and live in this wonderful, be able to do that and live in this wonderful community. Yes.
Great.
No complaints from me.
Excellent. Okay. Rocky, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. You've been listening to Our Town on KPTZ, Port Townsend, 91.9 FM. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. My guest today has been Rocky Friedman, owner of the Rose Theater in Port Townsend. In addition to thanking Rocky for being a guest on the show, I also want to thank Sonny Flores, editor and producer of Our Town. Thank you, the listener, for sticking with us through the long, dreary days of COVID. We're limping through this together. KPTZ Port Townsend is a community station. Everyone who works here is a volunteer. We give our time because we all believe Jefferson County needs a free local station. We really would like to return to normal, and I bet you would too. So stay safe, stay healthy. I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to Port Townsend's KPTZ 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic, informative community radio.
Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production, created by Marianne McNellis and edited by Sonny Flores.